The Mom Hour is brought to you by the Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 153 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm good, Megan. How are you?
I'm really good because I am like one day away from tying a bow on this move that I've been in the middle of for like the last 3 weeks. So
the epic move.
The epic move. So that's what we're talking about today. We're going to talk about moving and home renovations with kids. We've both done both, although I haven't done any renovations in a while. And moving with bigger kids is very different from moving with little kids, but you've moved with little kids, so we'll have a lot to say. And about
yes, we will. And this is one where we realized, oh, I think we have an episode in our archives that talks about this. But the truth is, that was 2 years ago. Things are so different. And so there is an episode 56 back from June 2016. We're just going to build on that. And we have heard from a lot of listeners who are moving. I think it's a time of life thing. You know,
yes,
people are outgrowing
yep.
homes or moving for jobs. So even if you are not currently in the middle of a move, I think there's a lot in this episode that really speaks to any kind of home upheaval.
Yes.
And when I get to my stuff, it'll be like, not even like fun remodels, just different things we've had to do in the last year or so with the house that I've did not expect. And I think there's a lot of overlap there. So even if you are in your forever house, I think we can all relate to home upheaval.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when we did this episode a couple of years ago, I was not right in the middle of a move. So I'm sure the stuff I'm going to think to talk about today are things into my head.
It's
very
top of mind for you.
Yep.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero-sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing one packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest, I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have 2 pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather. But please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring.
And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, Megan.
Mike, am I going first? Okay.
I mean, you have a lot to say here.
Yes, I do. I have a lot of notes, and I don't usually make a lot of notes, but I had to really jot some stuff down because I wanted to make sure I covered as much as I could. So
yeah, you just lead the way, and I'll jump in.
Okay. Well, just to give everyone kind of an idea of where I'm at right now, I am in the throes. I am probably in the final 7% of it's not 5. That would be too generous. Ambitious and generous, but like 7%. It's less than 10, more than 5. Of a major move. I've lived in the same home for 5 years with 5 kids, and I'm moving out of that home, and I'm moving into a home that is about less than half the size. Probably more like a third. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a lot smaller. And for the first time, although, you know, John still has stuff in the house and has been helpful in getting his stuff and helping the kids move their stuff, for the first time, I've really been planning it all by myself.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I'm a planner. I always took that kind of role anyway in our relationship when we were married. But now there truly is, like, I'm the one making the phone calls. I'm the one, you know, renting and finding the help and all that stuff. So it's a lot. And
that has been a lot.
My kids have gone through so many phases in the last 5 years. When we moved in, Clara was 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So there's toys. There's books I forgot. Like, I went to her closet and it is like a museum in there.
A time capsule.
And she doesn't like to throw things away either. Mm-hmm. So that's been challenging.
Yeah.
I had a lot of space. So while I'm not a big shopper, I'm not someone who just shops for fun a whole bunch. There's a lot of accumulation that happens in that much time. And because I had so much space, I didn't really have to edit stuff that closely.
Yeah.
I had this enormous, just as an example, I had an enormous bureau, one of those ones that like is, you know, horizontal.
Yep.
And every inch of it was covered with jewelry and candles and, toiletries, and I don't have that kind of space to fill now. So like just those little things, they seem small, but when you add them up over close to 3,000 square feet, it's just, whew, it's a lot. So I got some tips,
keeping in
mind that I'm learning as I go.
Yep.
And also keep in mind that this really, most of my tips are going to apply to like more of a local move than if you're doing like a cross country move that kind of has to happen quickly, in which I say, blessings to you and good luck.
Well, and actually, let me jump in because I feel like we talked about that quite a bit in that episode 56 from 2 years ago, because I wasn't too far. I was less than a year post move from Arizona to California
with
3 little kids. And so that might, I think there's some, probably some, let's just assume there's some good tips in there about cross country moves.
Yeah. So there may be a few of them are going to, in your episode there were, and a few of these will definitely apply, but some of the stuff just won't be possible unless you're moving someplace within, you know, an easy drive. So, okay. So here I'm going to go. I'm just going to dive
go
in.
For it.
So my first tip is to go slowly if you can. So I gave myself 3 weeks. I'm moving from one rental to another and I purposely gave myself 3 full weekends, and it worked out to just about 3 weeks of time to get from one house to the other. And I guess I did that for a few reasons. One is I really wanted to be able to do most of my editing at the old house.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to move stuff in.
Yes.
And then have to get rid of anything.
That is such a good tip just right off the bat.
I wanted every single thing I brought to the new house to be something that I wanted in the new house. And you don't know that unless you unpack and start putting stuff away.
Yeah.
And live with it for a couple of days and then say, okay, is there space for more?
Mm-hmm.
If not, is it something I can get rid of, or is it something I want to keep? And so I've been really able to be very strategic about that, which has been so, so super helpful. Like in the very beginning, all I was doing was bringing like 3 or 4 boxes at a time in my car over to the new house. And I would just unpack them.
You were actually unpacking them. Like you weren't just
unpacking.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
So I'd unpack and put stuff away and like kind of figure out where things were supposed to go. And I set up my kitchen really early on. Because I just wanted to kind of feel like how it was going to feel to live in the new house so that I could make better decisions at the old house. Mm-hmm. So the other thing about that is when you do that, you kind of set up a place you want to live in. Mm-hmm. And I hate the feeling of like going through this big move, getting into your new house and then hating it because all you see is boxes and mess.
Oh, yeah.
So I've brought my house back to like in the funny thing is that I keep messing it up. Right. I get it to where it looks great and like I could have a party and then I bring more boxes and it's a mess again and then I have to do the same thing over, but it's a very manageable amount of stuff. So I know I'm going to spend an evening unpacking and get it basically back to where it was on the day before. So that again is something that would only work if you live close enough and have the time to make that work.
But it's really love helpful. That. I really love that. There's so much like almost self-care sanity saving in that because you are, it's like we've talked about the Marie Kondo book that neither of us loved, but you really are being super intentional about like every object that you lay your hands on. Not only is this coming with me, but where it's going to go. I'm super impressed that you not only, I mean, I'm behind you on the get rid of stuff in the old house before you move, but I don't think I would have taken the step to really unpack box by box as you go to really see where it fits and how it works in the new house. I'm super impressed. Good job.
Well, thank you. Thanks. And it's been more about sanity saving than anything. I knew that I couldn't do this the way I might have done a move 5 years ago. Like I just without having as much help on hand and stuff, it's like I really needed for this to feel sane in the 3 weeks while I was in the middle of this and not to feel like I was living in, and I'm saying this, I'm looking around my bedroom and there's so many things I still have to attend to, but it's a home.
Right.
On that note, what I decided to do and has really been great is to make the first big push all about getting into the new place. Like everybody wanted to be in the new place right away. Mm-hmm. Like the kids wanted to be sleeping here. I really wanted to be cooking here. And so the first weekend that I, you know, got a U-Haul and hired some people, I'll talk a little bit more about that later, and did that first push, it was all about getting stuff in to make the new house livable. Mm-hmm. It is like super depressing to live in a house that you've half moved out of that's all dirty.
Yep.
And you don't end up making as good a choices, I don't think, about the way you move stuff because you're like kind of in limbo and you still need stuff in the old place to live and you can't get into the new place until you've done that stuff. So living and cooking and sleeping and showering in the new place like gave me just a better idea of how I wanted it to get set up. And also it's fun. Like the old place is just old. I'm done, you know?
And then when you go back to the old place, you're super clear about what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
Because you've actually spent time.
And when I go back to the old place, I'm not sitting down and reading or watching TV or getting on my computer. I'm there to work. And so it's really made it very clear about that the new house is for living in. The old house is for getting stuff out of, and that's it. So when we go there, we are in all business mode. And even if we only have like 2 hours on a Monday evening after the kids get out of school, like we really use those 2 hours and then we're done. Like I don't even take my coat off half the time. I'm just over there like work, 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 get everything in the box, get it out, and then get back to home, which is now new house. And I feel like for me, that was a mental shift that needed to happen. And for me, it was helpful to make that happen quickly.
Yeah.
To not feel like I had 1 foot in an old life and 1 foot in a new life, but just to kind of be like, well, guys, we moved the bed, so it's official now and we're out. And there was kind of that moment of like, oh my gosh, should I have recorded like the last night we all slept in the house together again? Right. And I sort of forgot to do that because I wasn't thinking about it. Yeah. And then we moved the beds and I was like, oh, well, whoops. But, you know, I have 5 years of history in that house. I don't really need, I don't know. I don't really need to have like that it marked in that way. So. Yeah. Okay. So on that note as well, like giving your, and I say this with like kind of my tongue in cheek because I have been so busy over the last couple of months and have not at all had the time I probably would have liked, but if when you can, like just setting aside time to enjoy the new place, keeping yourself less scheduled, having less travel. I was wrapping up a show. So I had tech week for Annie Jr., which I was directing during like one of the weeks of my move. But even then, I took days off work sometimes just to like be able to kind of come to the new house and hang out during the day and figure out where I wanted to put stuff and that kind of thing. So I think that like the less scheduled to keep yourself during that time,
I would agree with that. And I would even add that extend the amount of time that you think you're going to need that. That lighter schedule, because I think we, you know, if you think of how we moved when we were in our 20s, right? Like you'd take a weekend and you'd just do
throw everything in a box and do it. Yes.
And then you'd hop back to regular life. There's more stuff and more implications of big moves these days when you have kids and have families. And so I would say that that lighter schedule, I'm all for extending that for a month after the move. I mean, not to the same degree, but just remembering that you're going to have to be home for the cable guy to come, and you're going to have to, like, there's going to be random logistical and administrative things that take up time for weeks after. And so yeah. I think if you can anticipate that and just create that breathing room, if at all possible.
Yeah. Well, I want to address that too. Like, when I first started this process, I made like a huge long list of all the things that would have to be dealt with, like getting utilities set up, change of address form, hiring people to come actually help with the actual move. I have things in the old house that I am probably going to need to sell. When was I going to get those listed on Craigslist? When was I going to have a cleaning service come? Like, all these things. And I wrote everything down, and it was so overwhelming, like huge. And so I really just decided to not think about anything except what was right in front of me. So I prioritized based on like what kind of had to happen early. And then what could kind of happen in that second week, and then what could happen at the end. And then honestly, what doesn't have to happen at all if I run out of time? Like, what if there's things I don't get to that I get dinged on my security deposit or something? Like, I can't put those first.
Yes.
Those can't be the first, because they're not so urgent. They're not essential things that I have to do. They're things that I would like to do, but maybe I won't get to it, and that's okay too. So,
and that's that's so true of any major project undertaking. Yeah. And I am totally guilty of making everything seem like the same priority. I'm doing it right now with everything we have going on for work and travel, and like the next few weeks are really crazy, and it's really hard when you get into overwhelm to prioritize. So that was super smart. And you're right. Like, even the things that were important, they didn't all need to happen in the same week. Like, just breaking it out, like, okay, this does have to happen, but it can happen the week after we move. And so therefore I do not need to worry about it at all right now. That's That's great.
It's advice. Like one step at a time survival. Like, I can only do the two things that are right in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to think about the things that aren't in front of me right now, because then I won't be able to focus on those things anyway.
Right.
So,
right.
So yeah, one of the things I did do early was rent a dumpster. I put a exclamation point next to that. I actually had them come remove it and bring back a new one, because I was loving throwing things away and just having, it was like right outside my front door.
I love that.
And so I was like walking out with bags and just chucking them out the front door into the dumpster. It felt amazing. But just knowing that there are things I'm not taking with me that Goodwill does not want.
Yep.
And just having like just another place to put it that has nothing to do with moving. It was so easy, and it made it feel really good. So I would highly recommend it.
Does your local trash service have a bulk pickup that you can arrange?
Yeah, you can do a special pickup.
Okay. Yeah. We used to have, it worked differently in Arizona versus California. In Arizona, it was a set day of the quarter. I think once a quarter there was bulk pickup. And so you had to wait for that day, and you could stack stuff out like a week in advance, but you couldn't leave it out like all quarter.
Right.
But here we can schedule, and you can schedule, I think, up to 3 or 4 a year. And it's fantastic. So a dumpster is a great idea for when you're in that like big purging phase. But I would also add that maybe even once you get into the new house, you know, you have packaging and like weird, like when you ordered a piece of furniture and now there's like all this weird, like oversized boxes and all this weird stuff. So definitely look into if you have a bulk pickup option in your area. And that is huge. I didn't even like, it's such a service, and it's just included. But you might have to go find it.
I'll be using that because the dumpster is now full and I'm not going to get another one. But I will be calling the city next week to come and grab whatever flotsam and jetsam is left over at the end here. It's going to go out to the road, and then people will come pick through it, because people do that. And then whatever's left, the city will come and get.
Yeah.
To the note about boxes, I wanted to mention that one other benefit of doing a slow move, if you're able to, is you have fewer boxes. I think I purchased 8 boxes, maybe 10 from U-Haul. And I've just been refilling them, like emptying them and refilling them and emptying them and refilling them and emptying them and refilling them, because then I don't have 8 million boxes at the end that I have to then deal with, which is another clutter thing, you know, that can drive you crazy and takes up a ton of space. So again, that wouldn't work if you're doing like a big one weekend move, but it did work in this circumstance.
Yeah.
Let's talk about hiring help. I didn't really have the budget to do like a true moving company this mm-hmm. time, like people who would come pack up your stuff yeah. and decide like what and make sure it all goes to the right rooms and stuff. But I did actually end up hiring a couple football players
nice.
to come over, like young men, and they came over and they just helped us move all the big stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting too old now, and I'm yeah. getting too old to ask my friends are getting too old to ask them to move my sofas. You know, yeah. you know how it is when you're like yeah. in your 20s, your yeah. friends move that stuff and you yeah. give them beer or whatever. Yeah. And now it's like, no, I don't want to ask anyone to
yeah.
go up and down stairs with heavy furniture.
Right.
Except I'll ask my kids.
This is a liability that no one should be assuming.
Exactly. Exactly. But so I had these two guys come and they came for like 2 hours and did like all the stuff that I was dreading. Like, the stuff I knew I wouldn't be capable of moving myself, or even with two or three of my bigger kids, like, and I didn't want to ask anyone to do, they did mm-hmm. all that stuff. And so that was another priority thing. Like I had to go around my house and say, what would be the most value for me to, for them to get out mm-hmm. now? And that was the first big push. Like I kind of had a week where I brought boxes over slowly and stuff, but then the mm-hmm. first big push was getting the beds in, the mm-hmm. bed frames, the sofa, the dining room table, like all the big, the desks, all the, and the dressers, yeah. all the big, heavy stuff that I didn't want to deal with that would make the house livable. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, in any way you can get people to help you with stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to look like a cleaning service. I had a cleaning yeah. service come because I knew I was not going to have time to go clean the old house to right. the degree I wanted it cleaned. And they right. did a fantastic job. And when I go back over there now and the house is clean, it feels so much better.
Yes.
I don't feel like I don't know. It felt so gross when you start yeah. moving stuff and there's like dog hair,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
tumbleweeds under the sofa and just dust everywhere. And
yeah.
the house looks so dirty when you move yeah. all the stuff out of it, especially when you've been in it for a long time. So that felt really good.
That's awesome. Can I add a quick tip that I'm
yeah,
just thinking back to when I had really little kids? And something that just came back to me with regard to boxes and stuff is, so my kids were 1, 3, and 5 when we had to sell our house and move from yeah, Arizona to California, which is like really hard. But one thing I do remember, and I probably learned this the hard way, was smaller boxes were a lifesaver for me. If you have the option.
Oh, yeah.
Because yep. the way I had moved in the past was very gradual. Like, do a little bit here. Like, open a bathroom cabinet, take out all the toiletries, put some in a box. But maybe now I'm going to add some lighter things to that box. It was this very, like, sort of meandering, semi-strategic thing, but it was where I left things out in process a lot, and you cannot leave things out in process when you have a 1, 3, and 5-year-old. You know, the toddler, the little one was into everything, but then even the older two kids would get sort of like distressed or sad if things were like, if there was a bookshelf of their books and toys that was half pulled down. So smaller boxes and doing one thing completely really saved me, because I might have only had like a nap time or after they were in bed for a little bit. And so whereas in the past I would have had like a bunch of rooms in progress for like 2 weeks, I had to just be like, okay, this corner of the playroom is going, and when the kids wake up from their naps, it's got to be pretty much gone, which might yeah. be a little distressing, but not nearly as distressing as like now they're pulling toys out of a box and I'm telling them to put back in. And
right.
so having physically smaller boxes allowed me to do that and just be more complete each time, like just do a chunk and do it completely instead of have this, you know, like open-ended goal.
That's such a good tip. And it's funny, I'm looking around my house right now and all of the boxes that I have here that are the bigger ones are the ones I have not fully unpacked
right.
yet. They're yeah. all open, and like I took half the stuff out and left the rest because I don't, you know, it's just too much stuff. Like it's yeah. too much stuff to deal with all at once, and they take up physically more space.
Yeah.
So then I don't even want to approach them.
Right.
Like there's stuff kind of around them. So that's a really good tip.
I think I even maybe got the small boxes because we did have a moving company help us for that move. And so it might have even been from them. And, you know, especially when you get into heavy items, small boxes can still actually get heavy. So yeah. having a bunch of smaller kind of cubes to stack, I think was way better for me than big giant ones that I felt like I had to fill over the course of a week or whatever.
Yeah, no, that makes a ton of sense. That actually reminds me that before you start having your kids put together boxes, give them a quick tutorial about how to tell which side is the right side, because U-Haul boxes have nice little handles and there's nothing worse than trying to pick up, a heavy box that the kids put together upside down.
Oh, that's
I learned
so
that the hard
learned
way
that the
as
hard
well.
Way.
yep. Yeah, on that note, another tip that I have, I am like super, I'm not a spatially aware person.
No.
We've talked about this.
Yes, this is well
and
established.
And the more my physical surroundings become disoriented, the more disoriented I get. So I am terrible about when I'm in the move, losing things over and over. Like,
yes,
set down the packing tape, lose it. Where's the Sharpie? No idea. Where did I put the trash bags? I don't know. And I find them like all over the house. So finally, after complaining at you about this a couple of times, I kept losing my cell phone because I'd walk in the house. I'd leave my purse in the car because who needs one more thing to carry? I'd walk in with just my phone and set it down and then immediately forget where it was.
And so you're just totally unmoored. Like all of your usual patterns are disrupted. So all those things like autopilot of where you set your phone down are go out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. So I actually ended up getting a basket and I kept it like kind of near where you first walk in. And I just kept all of that stuff, like anything I might need to grab, packing tape, Sharpies, bags, car key. Yes. Car keys, paper towels, like just stuff like that, like was all right there. So I'd stop losing it. And I honestly probably lost my phone 10 times before I finally took that step. But that was really helpful. Oh, another thing I was going to say when you were talking about smaller boxes, I find that paper grocery store bags can work really well for small, like for the kids.
Yeah.
When they were feeling really overwhelmed, I would have them fill like a paper bag from the, you know, like just like a paper shopping bag or a canvas like tote.
Yeah. We have a lot of the reusable shopping bags work great.
Yeah.
Because they even have a little more stability.
Yeah. And the kids can carry them easily. And like they can carry, even little kids can carry one in each hand with stuff from their rooms. And that's nice. Oh, I'm getting to like the end of my like list of tips here. Oh, here's one though. So I have done a lot of grabbing of things like at Walgreens because it's close to my house.
Okay.
So the way my house is, we lost our Target. We no longer have a Target.
Sad.
So the big, I know. So the closest big box store is probably, I don't know, 15 minutes from my house. There's a hardware store probably 10 to 12 minutes from my house. And then what's close to my house, you can get essentials there. Like I could get a Sharpie, but they probably wouldn't have good packing tape, stuff like that. They wouldn't have a hammer if I needed one or whatever, or a tape measure, right? So like, I've really had to be careful about like triaging when I need new stuff. Because I don't want to be running out in the middle of a move all the time to go, because I realized that I need a trash can for the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to run out in 15 minutes away and get one. So anyway, my tip is to use Amazon Prime liberally. I've used it the same way the last couple of weeks as I do at the holidays, which is like, if I think of something, I need it, you know, it's probably very wasteful, but I don't use it like this all the time.
Right.
I will literally put it in order for one thing because I'm like, I need it. I'm just, or like I'll have the kids jot down stuff during the day that they realize we need.
Yep.
And then at the end of the night, I just order five or six things and I've put in orders just constantly. And if it's something you need right away, then you can go to the store, but most stuff you don't, most stuff you can wait a couple of days for. It's not a big deal. So yes, use Amazon Prime liberally.
Nice.
Okay. I think I have like one more.
Okay. Yeah. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, two more, actually. I'm looking at my list here. So one of them is to get your friends to help like in the ways that you really need. So, you know, people will ask if they can help and it's easy to default to like, show up and move some boxes. But that's probably not what you really need, especially if you have a service or like me, if you have older kids, they're capable of moving boxes. Like what I really needed was someone to my friend Liz came over and put together a kitchen cart for me that I ordered off overstock.com and it had a million pieces.
Oh, yeah.
And that would have just, I would have been in tears trying to put that together. She came over, I held her baby, she put it together, we had a glass of wine. Like it was super, it made it really pleasant because she's good at that stuff. My friend Katie came over and hung pictures in my new place. I'm terrible, I'm not spatially aware, they always end up crooked or like off somehow, not centered properly. And she came over and did that one night and I made her dinner, which I was happy to do. So it's like everybody, you know, people can help you in ways that you really need and
that suit their skills
and suit their skills and that they'll enjoy and you enjoy it.
And it's it got just you like, some company and some downtime and some friends.
Exactly.
Time. I love
that. Which I guess is to wrap this all up with a pretty little bow. Is to just try to like, you know, if you're living through a move, you can run really hard, but find little ways to just take care of yourself. And we kind of talked about that, you know, creating space in the new place if you're able to enjoy it and taking time to enjoy it. I've taken a lot of baths. I think I've taken a bath every single day for the last, since I came in the new house.
Nice.
Because I now have a bathtub like 4 feet from my bedroom, which I haven't had in a long time. And the first night I went to TJ Maxx and I bought myself some like Epsom salts and some candles. And I was like, I'm just going to take a bath every day. So I have that to look forward to. Every day I have a bath. That's like one of my favorite things in the world. So it could be like a little thing, I think. But just make sure you're taking time to do that stuff, because otherwise it's really easy to just collapse and be grumpy and
And I
hate
would
everybody
add,
and everything.
I would add relatively nutritious food to that self-care ritual, because it's so easy to slip into when you don't have, when you're not unpacked in your kitchen and you're consumed with other things. It's so easy to slip into bad eating habits. And that is like such a, it's such a mood and energy killer for me. It's not like you have to be perfect, but if there's like, and even if it costs a little more temporarily to like go get a really good smoothie or a really healthy salad for lunch and build that in, because there's nothing worse than that feeling of feeling like you've had pizza and takeout for a week straight.
That is a very
bad
feeling.
Not a good way to keep up your energy.
Right. It's not. It's not. Yeah. I think I mentioned in the last episode that I was really grateful this was the week our sponsor HelloFresh delivered to us, because I had not had a time to go real grocery shopping. I had like milk and bread in the house and stuff for lunches, and that was it. So it was really nice to have some meals delivered and to feel like I was actually preparing like, vegetables in the new kitchen.
So. And that's another way a friend could help too. I mean, I know when people have new babies, people like to do meals, and you and I have laughed about how we're not very good about bringing meals to people. But if you do have friends where that's their, a way that they love to give, like take them up on the offer to bring over, you know, some like healthy frozen meals or things that you can cook up or whatever. Do it.
Yeah. Great idea. That.
Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to HiyaHealth.com/MomHour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to HiyaHealth.com/MomHour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Okay, so I guess I'm going to sort of talk more this second
talk
part.
More talky, but we're talking more about just general disruption and
because I think like even if you're not moving, I feel like I'm entering this time of, I feel like a lot of my peers are doing some kind of home remodel renovation and it's both, I think, an aspect of like, okay, maybe our little kid and baby days are behind us and we can choose to focus on improving our home, or maybe we've outgrown a home, or also our homes are getting older. I live in a neighborhood where the homes aren't old. It's not like historical old, but they're all about 20 years old. So like just the standard issue things are now 20 years old. So people are having leaks in their roof or replacing air conditioning units, and you know, know, a lot of it's not super fun, but I feel like a lot of people I know are going through this type of stuff. So
yeah,
I just have a few tips from things that we learned. So we've had in the last year and a half, we had a major leak from an upstairs toilet down through a dining room ceiling. And it actually involved mold. So that was like treating mold as a whole thing. And thankfully it wasn't as widespread as it could have been, and we weren't really exposed, but that was the whole thing. And then we proactively repiped our entire house because we live in an area where the pipes are all failing. And once they fail, you can get a slab leak where like water's coming up from underneath. It's not just like a leak in your ceiling or your roof, but there's actually like water coming up from underneath, and that will damage all your floorboards. It's really bad. And it's like an epidemic. Like you hear people on my street, you see plumbing trucks all the time, and you're like, oh, another one.
So another one down.
We sort of like similar to like, you know, Angelina Jolie proactively, you know, had surgery to reduce her risk of cancer.
That is a segue that I was like, where are we going here?
Where are we going? I know.
an analogy I did not see coming, but yes.
Right?
Because this was a
major undertaking, a major plumbing undertaking, only to prevent future leaks. But in the homes where we live, it ended up being a really good thing because the type of leaks that happen can cost you $20,000, $50,000 in damage because it'll ruin your floors. And we have nice floors. So we did a full plumbing repipe. And then because of the plumbing repipe, they knock holes in your wall and go in and replace all the pipes. And so then you have to repaint. And we chose to repaint the whole interior of our house because I never loved the color. So those three things all in the last year and a half. And so each one was, you know, pretty significant disruption for at least a few days. So I guess here are my tips. My first two tips are expect more disruption than you think. And I will tell a quick story about this. I think it was the painting. No, it must have been the repipe. However they described it, they were like, you don't have to move out of your house. We're just going to use that big plastic sheet, you know, the big plastic sheets and block off certain areas and whatever. And I mean, I listened to what they said, but I had a totally wrong impression of how I was going to be able to use my house while they were there. I mean, I knew it would be inconvenient, but I walked in and I couldn't get into my kitchen. And there were like my coffee maker was in there. Like it was like,
oh no.
Yeah. And so I guess next time I would just pay closer attention or just expect if someone tells you you're going to be, you know, they're always going to try and make it sound like you can continue living your normal life while this is going on. And I guess like, yes, but it's not going to be normal life. And so I would say similar to a move, take stock of what you think you're going to need during that time and do a little mini move out, whether it's taking like snacks and kitchen essentials and at least having access to them or, you know, whatever. It depends on the situation. But I did not get on top of that in the way that I should have.
You know, that makes me think of like, and what's kind of weird about it, something that's happening in your house and you're continuing to do it versus a move is with a move, you kind of know everything is going to be crazy for a while. And what do they say? What's the saying about like happiness is like when your expectations meet reality or something like that. I actually might have just made that up, but it is a thing. Like when closer your expectations come to matching what actually happens, the more content and less stressed you are about your reality. And so when you're overly optimistic about stuff like that, it doesn't always help you.
No, it doesn't really serve. It doesn't really serve anyone. And I just didn't have a lot of experience working with contractors and like having people kind of explain how things were going to work. And so we definitely learned, we just hadn't really had to go through that before. I've dealt with movers, I guess is the closest, but I just hadn't done a lot of home stuff like this where people are coming into your house and like setting up shop there for several days.
Right.
So my next one is related, and that is to expect it to last longer than you think. And that is, we kind of talked about it when we were talking about moving, but the fallout from that, like, so let's say both the repipe and the painting were both about four full day jobs where there were workers in my house. I didn't have access to parts of the house, et cetera. And they leave in the evening. But if you got 4 days behind on just laundry, that is, I mean, for big families like ours, that has a long tail effect and that's just laundry.
Yeah.
So like I think expecting the disruption, the initial disruption is whatever it is, the remodel or the renovation or the new roof that's being put on or whatever. But the long tail on that, I think, is longer than you think. And that's not like it's not to be negative about it. It's just all the things we talked about with your move, the self-care, the planning for meals, all of those things. Just expect, plan longer than the contractors tell it, you know, tell you.
I feel like I'll probably be doing laundry for the next, I don't know, a month just to catch up from the laundry that didn't get done. Yeah. So yeah, I hear you.
Well, and the other thing too, is that both of mine, well, not the major leak. The major leak, we had to respond quickly, but the other two were scheduled. So I did have the benefit, and a move is scheduled. I did have the benefit to sort of do things ahead of time, you know, get laundry caught up ahead of time or make arrangements for meals ahead of time. I'm not sure that I did it to the degree that I would now that I know, but sometimes you don't even have that. I mean, if you have a roof leak or, you know, things that just a gas main burst or your pipes freeze or whatever, like those types of things you have to respond to in the moment, then you really haven't had a chance to prepare. So I guess on meals, we kind of touched on it with your moving stuff, but I would make a meal plan that includes going out to eat, includes some takeout, and sort of just treat that as, you know that it's not going to be home cooked meals for a week. So given that, still make your meal plan and make it kind of so that you can come to expect what's happening. Like instead of like, now it's 5 o'clock, everyone's hungry and I can't get into my kitchen. Just have that plan. So you know that you're going out for pizza one night, you're doing takeout one night, you're going to do a picnic at the park one night, and just sort of make that your meal plan for that week. And again, longer than you think, because that's how it works.
That's how it works. Yep.
So I guess my next two are more like kind of on the philosophical side of things. Ooh, and that is like, this has been hard for me, but I have to just come to accept that like my house is in progress. And I think that's more common than I thought at this stage of life. Like I am someone who really feels secure and stable when things are, you know, mostly put away. I don't need a super clean house, but I don't like having boxes out or having, I'm sitting in Reed's room right now and there's curtains down because I made Brian take these old curtains down because I thought we were going to put some up that same day. And it's like 3 weeks later and he can barely fall asleep at night because it's getting later and later that it's staying light. And like, that's just an example of something that I thought we could turn around in a day and we didn't. And that used to really bother me. Like I like to take on a project and finish it so I can feel like my house is relatively stable. I don't know if that's the right word. I'm coming to realize that it's okay to live in a house where there's something going on at all times. And I think I've been helped by knowing other people who are able to just chill out and enjoy the fact that there's like a temporary placeholder piece of art on the wall, you know, with tape around. Or do you know what I mean? Like something like, oh, we're playing with that color on the wall, so there's a paint swatch up there. And it's just, you can live in a house like that and still feel settled. And I think that's taken me a while to learn. Does that make sense?
Well, that's when I think things like the routines and the rituals become like your physical surroundings are just one way that but there's things that you can do no matter what's going on in the house around you. And that keeps that feeling of stability.
Yeah, exactly.
Going. And just like you said, it's making a meal plan, even if you know, well, you won't be eating all those meals in your house or a lot of them will be takeout or whatever it is. Like you still put the skeleton around it.
You don't give up. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if like what the meat on the bones look different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So my next one is to know yourself. And that is like just good advice for all life transitions. But I think you spoke really well to that, Megan, with your move, is knowing what is going to kind of hold the thread of sanity through all of this and prioritizing that. And it's different for everyone. Like, so I can probably live with a certain amount of mess chaos and, you know, that doesn't really bother me. But for other people, that would be a real trigger and would want to get in and, you know, clean the kitchen and set up and cook a home cooked meal right away or whatever. But so I think knowing yourself and also knowing your kids and sort of trying to anticipate the things that are going to disrupt or not disrupt them the most. Kids are, especially young kids, are thrown off by change. And we can't protect them from that. A move or a home renovation is going to throw them off, and that's okay. I don't think it's anyone's job to prevent that. But if it's little things like having kids pack a little suitcase for the week so that of their favorite things, even if you're not going anywhere, just so they know where everything is. Or I don't know. Does that make sense? Like just kind of trying to anticipate the things that will keep everyone feeling comforted.
Yeah, I do. And I want to add on to that.
Yeah.
That I think this is going to sound really dumb. Well, didn't we talk earlier this week about planning your emotions?
I feel
which isn't something I typically do. I usually just feel them. But I think I'm a pretty easygoing person and I tend to just kind of full steam ahead on whatever I'm working on. And I don't tend to rule out other things. It's not like I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of a move, so I can't go see this play that all my friends are in or right. something like that. Like I would still probably try to figure out a way to do that. And the result is I just like everybody else, no matter how easygoing I may seem, I do have a point at which I'm done. Right. Yeah. And when I hit it, it always surprises me. There's always like a little like, what? Why am I so grumpy?
Yeah.
Like, why am I taking this out on my family or my friends? Or why do I feel like irritated that I have this obligation on my calendar? Or why? Like, and I feel like for me, I've just really tried. Like last night I came home. I had actually gone out to see a play that some friends were in. So that was the example, real thing. Mm-hmm. And I was a little bit like right before it, I was like, ugh, I don't really want to go. Like, I just have other things I could be doing. But I did go and I enjoyed it. And then afterward, I came right home and felt sorry for myself. I felt sorry for myself for like an hour. It was actually pretty great. I have to say, like, I think sometimes you need to allow yourself to hit that wall and melt down a little bit and just be irritated and with everybody or be irrational or whatever. And then it passes. It always will pass. Right. But like, that's going to happen. Sometimes you're going to be mad about something that's totally out of anyone else's control. And that's okay too. Like, it's just how you deal with it. And you try not to take it out on your kids.
Yeah. But I'm going to bring up something else that wasn't even on my outline, but is related to this. And that is that moving and home renovations bring up very strong feelings about money and spending money. And I think for a lot of us, those can be sometimes surprising feelings. I'm very practical, pragmatic. Like I can stick to a budget or I can plan a budget. But I realize that after a lot of spending money, even if it's on things that were anticipated and planned, I feel this sort of like not anxiety, but this like almost like irritability at like,
I get, And I get anxiety about it.
Right. And so those are real feelings. And a lot of times they come from how we were raised about money or anything. Like money is a powerful, it's a thing. I mean, we have feelings about it. And a lot of these things involve spending a lot of money and just paying attention to how you feel about that and how you react to it. And you know, making sure that you're on the same page with your spouse or the other people involved. But money is a big one. And sometimes it can kind of come up and surprise you. I will find myself being fine about it. Like if I planned this $8,000 repipe and we budgeted for that, that's fine. But then I'll get really irritated when we're out to dinner for the fourth night in a row and it's another $70. Do you know what I mean? So it's like it builds up and I find myself being very, irritable about spending money. And it's all tied together, right? So that's another part of kind of knowing yourself and like you said, just acknowledging that these are all okay feelings. It's okay to have first world problems sometimes. Like it's okay to cry because you didn't like the paint color you picked. And like all of these things are acceptable. There's no feelings that are not okay. It's just part of it.
Right.
We got deep there for a minute.
We did go deep. I just felt it needed to be said. So
I don't know. Homes are a big, like, it's an important part of it. And there's a lot of emotions wrapped up in it. Okay, so my last tip is kind of a fun one. And that is that my kids are at a fun age with these various things we've done to our houses where they get really into learning about what's going on. They get super into like seeing the inside of our walls, like what's inside the walls or what's inside the ceiling or, you know, learning about electricity because we're having ceiling fans installed. I forgot about that one. That was a minor one, but we did also put some ceiling fans in recently. I have an electrician. So that's been kind of fun. I think there's a lot of learning opportunities for kids. I think it's great for kids to see people in different trades and people who are doing different kinds of jobs in different industries. I think having tradespeople in your home is an opportunity for kids to understand that working relationship to, you know, for you to model, you know, respect and a work and a business relationship, transactional relationship with those people. I just think there's all kinds of kind of interesting, fun learning opportunities for younger kids when this kind of stuff is going on. And I also think kids really like to feel included. So if you do have kids who are more anxious when their life is disrupted, then I think including them in it and not having them feel like this is just something that's happening to their yes. house. Like my most anxious kid literally had a hole knocked in his wall, you know, like right. which could be upsetting. right. But I think there's little ways to turn that into just including them, that this is an adventure we're having as a family. And that would be the same for a move, and that they're included in it. They get to help make decisions. They get to help learn that it's not just happening to them. I guess that yeah. would be my parenting tip.
I love that. And I want to kind of then apply that as well to moving. I think, yeah. you know, there's so many lessons there, and the more involved they are, like my kids, they're older. My oldest.
Yeah.
Well, my oldest isn't even in town right now, but the oldest at helping is 18. And then the youngest is 9. So they're all very involved. They've all been moving yeah. things, but I think they're learning a lot about how to plan, like strategically plan a big life change,
yeah.
how to prioritize a to-do list, how to knock things off the to-do list, how yeah. to see something all the way through from beginning to end, how to decide what's worth keeping. And that is yeah. like something that I think is really hard for a lot of kids. And I will admit, I did a lot of Clara's room while she wasn't there,
because yeah, I
just knew it would be way more stress if she yeah. was trying to make decisions about every little thing. But I did talk to her a lot about, you know, when you have too much stuff, none of like, she would say, that's like throwing away a memory. And I said, when you have too many memories that you're hanging on to, then you can't find them. Like yeah. you can't, the ones that yeah. matter the most are buried, and you don't get to, you know, play with them. So the memory has to be somewhere else besides a physical piece of paper.
Right.
We all get sentimental about certain things, and I'm certainly no different than anybody else, but I've gotten pretty good with so many moves about realizing what is worth hanging on to and looking at again,
right.
and what can just live on as a picture on my phone or just a memory and
yeah.
be gotten rid of. So what are the things that can be repurchased, and it's easier to repurchase yeah. them later than it is to put them in a box right now and worry about them and stuff like
yeah.
that. So I think that's all stuff that the kids are learning through this process.
Yeah.
Either just by watching or by having to do it themselves.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing about kids and moves. And I know I mentioned this back in that older episode because it really struck me. But when my kids were little and we were moving, they thought at first that they were going to have to leave their beds and even some of their toys in the old house.
Yeah.
And so I use that as an example just to remind you guys that kids, first of all, they want to understand more than we think they do, but then they also have major gaps in the way they understand the world works. So you might think yeah. they're not paying attention or not listening when they really are, but then you also can't assume that they understand the way moves really work. So especially with little kids, really reassuring them that a move to a new home, you know, what that means, what we are taking with us. Are we, maybe we're not taking our refrigerator, but we can take all of the food in it. And maybe, you know, we are taking our beds and our pillows and our, you know, because they'll get really like confused about
yes.
what I'm leaving behind. And you can probably head off some upset feelings just by like, whoa, like I have to actually explain what's going to happen. A truck's going to come. You're going to see your stuff go, you know, go bye-bye. But then it's going to be the same stuff in a new house. And that, it sounds so simple to us, but little kids, and I mean everything from 2 up until 6 or 7, really, if
yeah.
they've never had a move, might not understand that. So I know yeah. I talked about that in that other episode because I was like, oh, wait, we need to back up. Like, I didn't realize how little you understood about what was happening. Do you know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. So. Yeah. And we expect that they do, but they don't have the context. They don't have like
right.
all the context. It's all the life experience that
yeah.
says when X happens, that means Y and Z, but not A and B.
Right.
It's yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Well, this is fun. I don't want to move anytime soon. So
no.
I'm glad that you took one for the team so we could do this episode. I don't even really want to do a remodel. I want my house to stay.
You just want everything to stay exactly the same.
I do. I really
That's
like
why people
house.
End up living in time capsule houses, I think. It's not because, you know, they're waiting for it to come back. It's just because who wants to deal with it?
Except can your friend Katie come over to my house and hang art? Because I know I've complained about this to you, I think on the podcast and in real life, but we painted in January and I was so excited to have plain walls to redecorate. And it's April 21st, guys.
You know what? I bet you if you had a party and
I know.
Asked people yes. to come over and hang art for you and you supplied like snacks and wine, I bet you would have your house totally done.
Totally. And like it would actually look amazing. I have such
yeah.
commitment problems with hanging stuff. Like
See,
I feel like,
you just need,
especially
you need some
since,
friends.
I know. I thought you were going to say just have a party and it'll get my butt in gear to hang stuff before the party
oh,
starts.
No.
Which just is also
like,
true.
Have like 4 to 6 girlfriends over.
That's a good idea.
And then just ask them to come and each like offer advice and suggestions and get, and the, with the goal being your living space, everything's hung up on it by the time they leave.
I love that idea.
We should
okay.
do it.
All right. Okay, guys. Well, we're going to wrap up. Everything we talked about, which there were several things, will be at themomhour.com. This was episode 153. You'll also find information about our sponsors, Shoot Along and Warby Parker. We'll be there in the show notes for episode 153. And we will be back with you guys next week.
Hey everyone, Sarah here. Megan and I would absolutely love it if you hit pause right now, right where you're listening, and left the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, that's one of the absolute biggest ways you can thank us. And it really takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, just navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So not the episode you're listening to right now, but the kind of landing area for our show as a whole, and then scroll down to leave a rating or review. Thank you so much.
Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, M-E-A-G-A-N francis.substack.com.